Jay Ratliff joins us now from DayTradeFund.com as we jump into this new year, heading towards a big day in November for the election. And all behind the screen here, what's really on people's minds? The border seems to be inching its way up to the number one spot. The economy is still up there, and what's happening with interest rates and how expensive money is these days. But, Jay, welcome in. It looks like the Fed's message is getting a little bit louder on rate cuts being slower and less aggressive. You know, y'all need to quit talking about how we're just going to start chopping rates again. But other people are saying, oh, really? Well, watch this. And so what's going on here?
Well, you know, it was, I think, about a week and a half ago, that investors on Wall Street said that there was going to be an 81% chance of a rate cut in March. And I'm thinking, A, why aren't those folks listening to you and I? Because we've made it clear that that's probably not going to happen. And I think more of them are listening now, because I think that's down to about a 49% chance of a March interest rate cut. The thing that I keep reminding everyone around the country is that, look, the Fed is yet to reach their 2% inflation target. And until they come close, the idea of interest rate hikes is still in place. So if it's going to be maybe an interest rate hike or a pause, where are we coming up with this idea that it's got to be a rate cut? And some people have gone off the deep end saying, not only a cut, Jay, massive cuts in March or May. And I'm thinking, okay, the Fed has finally, I think, had enough. And JT, the Fed chair said, look, rate cuts are going to be slower and less aggressive. So when you're using that terminology, anybody who's listening has to understand the idea of a massive rate cut simply not going to happen. The Fed has done what they've done over the last couple of years in a very measured, gradual, way of going, and they're going to do the rate cuts the exact same way. It's going to be very measured, very calculated, and it's going to be a little bit over an extended period of time.
Well, you mentioned the 2% inflation. That was the target from Jerome Powell. He hasn't moved the goalpost on us, has he? He hasn't gone to, okay, well, let's just shoot for 3.
He's not even indicated he might think that.
Right.
Which is what, I mean, he has a game plan that in his mind has worked. And it is tried to give the country a soft landing, if you will, coming out of what could have been a very rough recessionary period. So for him to, in his mind, think my team is doing exactly what we were supposed to be doing, the results are what we had hoped for, the idea that he would all of a sudden say, you know what, forget this, let's just go do this and see what happens.
Yeah.
He's not going to do that, because it's just not who he is, who he's been. He's been very transparent, which is the other confusing part of this, because I really think a lot of times you and I will see headlines that are designed to sway political influence. And sometimes they're not accurate headlines, but the idea is, let's get people thinking this way. And I think a lot of people that are out there screaming about how there's going to be interest rate cuts are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're trying to build pressure as if they could do anything like this and pressure the Fed into their next course of action. And it's simply not going to happen, not to this guy and not to this team, because they have done exactly what they've wanted to do each step of the way, regardless of what they were being told by others to do.
Right.
And so far, you have to say that they're doing a good job, because JT, guess what happened this week? 38,000 on the Dow.
Right.
You talk about buzz to infinity and beyond the Buzz Lightyear crowd, man, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And this morning, futures up about 150 points on the Dow, so we're pointed up a little bit here as well. So, yeah, I'm not going to say the Fed's not doing a decent job, because the evidence certainly speaks to the contrary. They're doing an incredible job here.
All right. Well, switching gears, Jay, I wanted to get your thoughts. Lately, you spent years in the airline business as an administrator yourself, and I saw that the CEO of Alaska Airlines now says that they found loose bolts on a lot of their airplanes. And, you know, what the heck's going on here? And Delta Airlines, I mean, you saw this, right? They had a plane departing from Atlanta, and they lost some landing gear as they're taking off. I mean, do we not just do regular maintenance checks on planes? I mean, my wife's a school bus driver. They have to pre-trip every time they jump on board, and they check everything that's going on for safety reasons. I mean, we're putting planes in the air. Are we not kicking the tires and checking the oil and making sure we're tightened up before we go?
Well, you know, when we get a new car, we have a maintenance schedule, but we don't take that car into maintenance 2 weeks after we get it. You know, we kind of expect it's going to hold together for a while. Certainly, you're looking through things, but you don't tear the engine apart to make sure everything is secured as much as it needs to. And the Alaska Airlines plane that had that situation that blew out, it was in service, what, 10 weeks or something like that, brand new airplane. And once those airplanes were grounded and the mechanics have gotten in there and torn these things apart, they're seeing a lot of these nuts not even secured. In fact, a lot of them. And I've seen pictures of it, and it's just amazing that anybody could have thought, okay, this is okay to go on to the next step on the production line. And the CEO of United and Alaska Airlines, they're getting ticked. They're saying that there's no way that our customers should have been placed in danger because of Boeing delivering to us an airplane that wasn't flight ready.
Right.
And the idea right now is a lot of airlines, Delta and others, who have future potential orders with Boeing are saying, you know what? We may need to go towards Airbus. And I don't blame them at all. I would prefer an American-made company. But JT, right now, I don't trust Boeing.
Yeah,
I simply do not. And if I'm head of an airline, there's no way on God's green earth, I don't care what deal they give me, that I'm going to put that airplane into service. Not that I think it might would not be safe, but the idea that it might be grounded for a year.
Absolutely. Well, if I'm a CEO of an airline, I'm definitely gathering up all the maintenance crews. All right, look, new plan here. Let's go to the whiteboard, and there's a whole new list. We got to ramp up our checks every time from just, you know, every once in a while. I mean, you got to take a look and make sure you're safe before you take off. Jay, thank you. I appreciate you.